As we commemorate International Women's Day, and who better to do that with than the grand poobah of the National Women's History Alliance. Molly McGregor is here. Good morning to you, Molly.
Good morning.
Good to have you here.
And thank you.
Molly, we, of course, so many of us think of you as such a catalyst, and I'm wondering, at the beginning of the efforts in the 70s, what was the catalyst for you?
Well, I had been a secondary school teacher, and I was teaching at the Petaluma Community Center. Mm-hmm. And I had mostly women in my class. I had a couple of guys, but we were all in our early 30s, and they said, "Oh, Molly, you know, we missed this when we went through school. Let's see what's in our school libraries now." And so they checked out three different libraries, and of the 3 to 7 books they found that had anything to do with women, you know, like maybe Dorothea Dix or Martha Washington, mm-hmm. or whatever, the real tell was that they hadn't been checked out in 5 to 15 years.
Wow.
And
wow.
As a teacher, I knew they hadn't been checked out in 5 to 15 years because the teacher hadn't assigned them, and the teacher hadn't assigned them because the teacher didn't know anything any more than I had known about women's history when I first discovered it. So with that, we went to the county office of education. I think at that time there were about 32 different school districts.
Mm-hmm.
I walked into this group as a representative of the Commission on the Status of Women, definitely an outside agitating group. And it was 38 men and Ev Truman, who was at the time the dean at Montgomery High School. Anyway, it was a total success. I was nervous about them. They were nervous about me. And what I explained to them that invisibility is the number one bias. You know, the reason teachers weren't teaching anything is because they didn't know. It wasn't like they were really trying to keep this information away from children.
Right.
So I said, we would be glad to provide curricular resources. We'd like to institute a Women's History Week calendar on the school calendar, just like they have a week for the Dolphins, a week for different entities. And it was a success from the very beginning. Our difficulty was trying to find curriculum because it didn't really exist.
Where did you find it?
Well, we found a little bit in Learning Magazine. Berkeley School District was the only one that had ever done anything for International Women's Day, so we got some, well, some people call them paper dolls, we call them puppets, and then we just began to, we used some of Holly Near's music, just a whole array of different ways the teachers could begin to introduce the concept of women's history, and, you know, a Susan B. Anthony birthday party, and different things like that. And most significantly, we recruited Sonoma County women to go into schools and talk to kids about their lives and about how things change in lives. And Susan Cooper, who was a dentist at the time, she took off the whole week and went in her dentist garb, which I had never seen her in. But anyway, she went in her dentist garb with a whole satchel of teeth and different apparatus the dentist used. And the setup had been, a doctor is going to come into our classroom.
Yeah.
And then Susan came in, and it was such a surprise because there was so little information about who women are, what we did. I mean, invisibility just permeated everything, or worse, stereotypes. So that was the beginning, and Sonoma County led the way. We led the way for 2 years. Our curriculum materials got better. The next year, we added a hometown parade that was headed by Helen Rudy and Putton, who were on the school on the board of supervisors, and then followed by the Cloverdale Color Guard, because we wanted to really let people know that when we're talking about women's history, we're talking about all women. This is not like a special interest group. This is 52% of the population. And from that, lots of people took pictures, and I was able to take the images of this huge celebration back to a national conference that was headed by the premier person in women's history, Gerda Lerner. And it was a 39-day conference, and the outcome of the conference was that all of these women, and they were presidents of the Girl Scouts, president of AUW, high echelon, women who had won for governor, women who knew President Carter, and nuns are the very best organizers. So anyway, they all went back to their different states and organizations and began this grassroots movement for there to be a national Women's History Week. And that following February, I received a call from the White House, and it went something like this. This is the White House calling for Molly McGregor. And I said, oh, one moment, please. And I put them on hold because the White House had never called me before or since. But as it turned out, it was Sarah Weddington saying that President Carter was going to issue a presidential message to the American people to use the week of International Women's Day, March 8th, to celebrate and recognize the extraordinary contributions of women.
Wow.
And then immediately it was picked up by Barbara Mikulski, who was in the House of Representatives at the time. And so she put it forth for the next year, because remember, every year it changed because March 8th changed. And that fall, she was joined in her joint resolution by Orrin Hatch, and it was perfect.
Wow, that is striking, that piece of information.
Yeah, well, Mormons are really into genealogy, and they're really into respecting and honoring the extraordinary history of Mormon women. So, I found out later that before Hatch was elected to Congress, he wrote a history column. So, but for us, it was perfect because Barbara Mikulski was a liberal. She was in the House of Representatives. She was an Easterner. And Orrin Hatch was a conservative. He was male, and he was a Westerner.
Yeah.
So, when conservative people would contact us and say, well, you know, we don't want to do anything that's going to dismiss the work of women in the home, we would send them the things that Orrin Hatch had written, because we selected International Women's Day for three very primary reasons. We wanted to recognize the connection between all women throughout the world. We wanted to make sure it was a multicultural recognition of all of the, especially in our country, the diversity that we had. And the third reason was we wanted to recognize the work of women in the home and outside the home. So that's why International Women's Day was the perfect focal point.
Mm-hmm.
And from there we built the week, and every year we had to go back to Congress and lobby again.
Wow.
And then by 1987, about 14 states had declared all of March as Women's History Month, because what happens in March, there's school breaks, there's all sorts of things. So to be able to have it for the entire month
allowed so much more
leeway. And the National Women's History Project, which is now the National Women's History Alliance, we provided the theme, the resources, the ideas, the promotion of, hey, you can do this, and this is how you can do it. And Mary Rustadter was one of our founders, and she set up this wonderful network of librarians, because librarians are our friends, and librarians care about promoting, you know, education.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's kind of the thumbnail sketch of how it's all been, and now we're in our 39th year, and the change has been more dramatic than I could ever explain.
And Molly, how proud were you at the first time this happened, National Women's History Month, and has that morphed or altered for you in the years since?
No, it's every time there's a news article about National Women's History Month. I mean, people plan whole events around it now, around the world, because one of the things that happens when it's a congressional resolution, the president signs it. And when the president signs it, it means every federal agency has to do something in recognition of National Women's History Month. So in Kuwait, in the far realms of the world, we get all this feedback from from different programs that have, you know, they might have done 10Ks in Honor Women's History.
Yeah.
And each time along the way, they give a little clue, so it becomes a game. I probably have given more keynote speeches to military bases than even to schools. And it continues to grow exponentially. It's just with new media, social media, and the whole interest of young women getting involved. Because I shouldn't say just for young women, but for most of us, this is all new. You know, women's history has been one of the untold stories. So we used to joke and say it was written in invisible ink. And now, as we look at all the explorers, the scientists, the artists, it's just so grand. And every day people make new discoveries and have a new sense of excitement, and probably most importantly, a new sense of inspiration.
It's a wonderful thing, and we're talking with Molly McGregor, who was and is a local treasure, who is now a national treasure, as you can imagine. Molly, hang on. We'll come right back and talk about the changes for the better for women so far and what we need to get done with regard to We 2020.